What up, church? How are you doing this morning? Man, it's a gift. It's a joy to be with you. And it matters that you're here. It matters that you're here. I believe that you may not even know the reasons why you're here this morning, but God knows. And I believe he wants to speak to you something fresh, something new, something specifically to your heart. I'm believing that. Believing God for that this morning. Not a New Life. You may have heard this. We seek to be a vibrant, reproducing church who lives out the greatest commandment in the Great Commission. And by vibrant and reproducing, we're really connecting that to the greatest commandment and the Great Commission. Vibrant meaning Christ alive in us. We want to show people Jesus in word and deed as we obey the greatest commandment to love the Lord our God and to love our neighbor. And we also want to show people Jesus meeting our own need, right? Like, we're not giving away something we don't need. We need Jesus. And so we're giving away something we need. I mean, don't trust the cooking of a chef who doesn't taste his own food. Okay, you connected with that, right? Like whatever we're cooking here, we want to eat it. We're hungry for it. We're hungry for Jesus. And that's vibrant. And then reproducing, that's about seeing Christ come alive in others. We saw that last week with the baptisms. This is really about obeying the Great Commission. We want to make disciples of Jesus who make disciples of Jesus. And we want to see that on a church-wide level too. We want to plant churches that plant churches that plant churches. And today we're talking about our next steps as a community towards church planting. Now let me tell you, I'm super excited about that. Let me tell you what that doesn't mean. Okay, we're in the middle of discerning from the Lord a 10-year vision. And so what does God want to lead us to as a church for the next 10 years? This is not an unveiling of that, all right? There's some themes that you guys participated in helping us to unearth in our midst and things that we feel like God wants us to be passionate about and to keep in mind moving forward. And we're still looking for greater clarity about that going into the future. But church planting has been an important part of our past. And as long as there's breath in our lungs, it's going to be an important part of our future. And God is moving in some significant ways. And so we're going to look at some specific next steps today. But we're in the middle of this series of surrender, right? We're walking with Jesus on his journey to the cross through the book of Matthew and looking at this theme, surrender. And church planting, in a lot of ways, is really about surrender. And you've heard us say a couple times that the kingdom of God doesn't move forward through subjugation. It moves forward through surrender. We see that in Jesus' life, and we see that with church planting. It's a lot like having kids. Ask me if my life is easier now that I have two small boys. No is the answer. Hello? No. They barely contribute financially to our family. Barely. And like on a birthday or something, other people just give them money. I don't understand. But the return in joy is so much, you guys. It's beautiful. So much sacrifice, so much surrender, but the return in joy is amazing. And it's the same way with church planting. Years ago, we used to have a lot higher numbers here in these seats. And we had visions and goals of having even higher numbers, and now it's lower than it was. And as your pastors, we're praying and we're trying to discern about, you know, what does it look like to be healthy and maintaining vibrancy here in Ann Arbor? But one thing we know for sure as we move forward is we don't desire or aspire to be a megachurch. We want to be a mother church. We want to plant churches. And we believe in that paradox of the kingdom, that it expands not by growing bigger, but by growing smaller. And so some of the biggest hits in attendance and other ways that we've ever taken has been sending this team out right here. This is a team that we sent to Ohio State University back in 2007. Now, each one of them, now we hired them from a program which cost a lot of money. We hired professional church planters. They went through 38 years of training to become experts, guaranteed to succeed. And then we bought them and we sent them out. No, that is not what happened. These are my friends. This is the person that did my wedding. One of the people stood up in my wedding. It's my best man. These were people who sat in seats like the ones you're sitting in right now as freshmen and caught a vision that God might use them to go out and do something for him in the kingdom. To take the love of Jesus somewhere where people weren't hearing about it. And they caught a vision and they're like, okay, God, this is crazy, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to go. I'm going to go. I'm going to be a part of it. People sitting in seats like where you're sitting right now, thinking the same thing you're thinking. That's not going to be me. And so this church, we took a hit here, sending these folks out. But now there's a church, H2O, on campus at Ohio State University. And they're a multi-generational church impacting the next generation with over 700 in attendance, 500 in small groups, 50 or so people per year coming to know Jesus and being baptized. Is that worth it? It was worth it. It was worth it. And then in 2013, we sent this team out. Again, these are my friends. It was sad when they left. Going to Wayne State University on campus in Detroit, have a vision to impact that campus in the city of Detroit, a diverse church. They've got over 100 in small groups, most of those attending on Sunday mornings, and they're reaching people with the gospel, people coming to know Jesus, and they're impacting that city. Man, isn't that awesome? Today, you're going to hear a little bit more about our next steps with our ministry at Eastern Michigan University, and we're also going to unveil our next church plant. And before we do that, we're going to look and dream and imagine ourselves into Matthew chapter 14 with the loaves and the fish, and we're going to see what we can learn from Jesus in the midst of this, and we want to hear his voice, so let's pray before we go any further. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, when you speak, the world changes. When you speak, we change. God, we want so much more this morning than what any one person can offer, than what we have to give, Lord. We want something so much bigger than the sum of what we have to give, Lord. And we need you to speak. We need you to move. God, we want to make much of your name, Jesus. And I pray that you, Holy Spirit, you'd speak to each one of us today in a fresh, unique way. Would you move us to extravagant generosity in our hearts toward you and whatever you might ask of us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, we're not going to go through slides today, okay? So here's what we're doing. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 14 if you want to read that later on your own. But right now, I'm going to walk through that story in some of my own words, and I want you to close your eyes. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to imagine yourself in the midst of this. You're one of Jesus' disciples. Now, that's real. You don't have to imagine that. That's true. But imagine you're back there at first century Judea. You're one of Jesus' disciples, and you're on this particular day, you're weary and you're sad because you just found out that Jesus' cousin, John, whom you knew, John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, a godly man, was beheaded as a party favor on Herod's birthday. Man, what a waste. Waste. And you and your fellow disciples, you've taken upon yourselves to go and retrieve John's body, and you buried him, and man, you were just dirty, you're sweaty, you're exhausted, and you're sad. And then you continue on to the sad work of breaking this news to Jesus. And so you do that, and you come to him, and you share the word, and his face falls. It's just sad. It's been an exhausting journey. But Jesus, he sees you. He sees that you're exhausted, and he invites you. He said, let's get in the boat. We're going to cross the lake. We're going to go to a remote place, a desolate place. Go be by ourselves for a while and rest. You need some rest. So he sees that you need rest, and he invites you to come with him in the boat, and you're going across the lake. But as you near the shore of this desolate place, you look up and you notice there are thousands of people who have stormed the beach. Crowds that they heard a rumor that Jesus was going to the other side of the lake, and so they ran on foot to get there ahead of you. And so you don't get out of the boat to rest, you get out of the boat to the crowds, and you're just feeling that rise up in you, that sense of, man, I can't believe it, something else. But what's rising in Jesus's heart is compassion, because as he sees the crowds, he has compassion on them because they're harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And for a moment, he forgets his own pain and exhaustion, and he steps out of the boat, and he begins one by one to touch and heal their sick. Heal their sick. Heal they're sick, and he invites you in, and you're with them in the midst of this, and there's just swarms of people, and you're just healing hour upon hour, person upon person, one after the other, just healing. They're sick, and then eventually it seems like the needs are met. People have kind of stopped coming. They're just all surrounded, and you see this is your opportunity, so you come to Jesus, and you say, Jesus, this is a desolate place, and it's the end of the day. Can you send these people out to the surrounding villages so that they can buy themselves something to eat? When what you maybe secretly mean in your heart is, man, it's tired, it's a long day, can you send these people away so I can get something to eat? But then Jesus looks you in the eye and he says, they don't need to go away. You feed them. You feed them. And you don't know what you're feeling in that moment. Rage seems to make sense. Fear. Confusion. What do you mean you feed them? With what? But you're like, okay, he's Jesus. He's Lord over my life. I'm going to figure something out. I'm going to figure out a plan. So you put your heads together with the other disciples. And you're like, what do you got? I got something. I got some bread. And then you're like, okay, we got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That is lame. That is a bad plan. And you're like, you know, you tell Jesus, you tell him. 5 loaves, 2 fish. He's not going to be happy about this. This is the worst plan we've ever come up with. But then you're like, Jesus, we got 5 loaves and 2 fish, but what are they to so many? And he just smiles and he says, that'll do. That'll do. You bring that here to me. And you surrender your little offering to Jesus, and he surrenders it to the Father, and he breaks. He says, Father, thank you. Then he has the people sit down, and he hands you the bread. He says, now you go give it to them. And so you start handing out the bread and the fish. One group eats, and the next group eats, and you just keep coming back. There's just more bread, more fish. You just keep coming back, and more and more and more until everyone eats and is completely satisfied. And then you take up 12 baskets full just of the leftovers. And you don't know what just happened, but somehow 5,000 men, not including all the women and children, just ate and were satisfied. Now, open your eyes. Open your eyes to Israel's story, whom God first led into the desert, and when they were hungry in the wilderness, he fed them that unexpected bread. And there are 12 tribes among them. And then here we have a wilderness. We have masses of people, and they're all hungry, and again, he feeds them unexpected bread through 12 disciples who pick up 12 baskets full afterwards. What is Matthew saying? Man, this is Yahweh God. This isn't just a man. This is Yahweh God in your midst, and he has enough. But when I look at this story, I also am mesmerized by the things that are different. Because in this, his disciples get to participate in the miraculous provision of God. Jesus will demand the impossible from us. Jesus will demand the impossible from us. And that sounds cruel at first to me, because I'm thinking, you want me on my own self-reliance? You want me to somehow come up with enough to do this impossible thing I can never be adequate for? No. He demands the impossible from us, but he only asks for what we have, not for what we don't have. He demands the impossible, but he doesn't ask for what we don't have. He asks for what we have. And even if that is just 5 loaves and 2 fish, he says, that's enough. You give that to me in faith, and I will make much of it. Because when we seek to make much of the name of Jesus, he takes the little we have to give, and he makes much of it. Let that stir your heart and your imagination today. Because there's some of you, you're going to hear about church planting for the first time today, and you're going to think, I can never be a part of that. I'm not smart enough. I'm not spiritual enough. I'm not holy enough. I'm not educated enough. But you've got 5 loaves and 2 fish that you just look down on with disdain, that Jesus is saying, man, that's good. That is beautiful. That is enough. Watch me make much of it, because I love to use the small things to shame the big things, the foolish things to shame the wise, the weak things to shame the strong. So let that stir your hearts and your imagination. At this time, I want to welcome up the core team for Eastern Michigan. Please join me in welcoming them.
Go green.
Go green. He went to Michigan State. I'm sorry, you guys. Now listen, if you don't know it, there's a long history.
Color.
Okay, we can't talk in the mic at the same time, John. Look, there's a long history of faithful ministers at EMU, and I think of, in particular, Rose Vanderskell, the Schmidtkeys, the Swishers, the Rose, April Embry, Susan Rickert, Steve Cablefleisch, and McLean Mass, just to name a few. I know I'm missing a ton. But for the last several years now, this core team of John and Kirsten Allen and Dustin and Sarah Santini have been doing the work of a church plant there in Ann Arbor. They've stepped out in faith, in Eastern, in Ypsilanti, and they've been stepping out in faith to see if God would use them to grow a church in the Ypsilanti soil. Now, the work of church planting, what is that? That's proclaiming the gospel like crazy. That's building up and sustaining and shepherding those home group, small group communities. And for 4 years now, they're in their fourth year after starting a Sunday service. It's been really beautiful if you never have a chance to go there and see it. The harvest is plentiful and the workers are few at Eastern. And many of you may not know this, but Eastern Michigan is not an autonomous church plant. It's a venue of New Life Church in Ann Arbor. Our pastor here, Eric Weber, has been overseeing it in particular. And honestly, as your pastors, for years, we have struggled with clarity on a preferred future for Eastern. And after really talking with the Allens and the Santinis, we know with clarity that we are setting a course now and believing God to establish the EMU church as an autonomous church plant to serve the Ypsilanti area for years to come. Yeah. Now I would love for them to hear some of your heart, because we, you know, our lack of clarity for a number of years has at times it's cost us opportunities to really celebrate the work you're doing, to really put the full force of the church's support behind you and help and just bless what God is already doing in and through you. And yet, from where I'm sitting, it just seems like you've continued to get out of bed and do this work faithfully, even in the midst of some really difficult trials. And so I want to hear what's getting you out of bed. What spurs your heart? John, I know you're going to represent a little bit here today, but give us maybe a picture or a story of what God is doing there at EMU and what you hope to see him do in the future.
Well, fortunately, we don't have to get out of bed early. Our service is at 5 o'clock at night, which is awesome because I don't believe in God before noon. So that really helps us. So
we'll cut that from the tape. That's all right.
I'm sorry. Almost in 15 minutes, I'm going to have a revelation. But for me, it was about 7 years ago, my daughter, I was working here trying to reach Wolverines, and I like Wolverines, but I'm a Spartan. And so I was trying to do that, but my daughter was going to Eastern, and so I was like, I wonder what sort of campus ministry is happening at Eastern Michigan. So I went and checked out the campus, and as I was going around, really, I only found like a couple full-time Christian workers on a campus with 23,000 students. And that is a lot less than we have here at U of M, probably 30 times less, okay? So it was disheartening. You know, I thought, why aren't people coming here? And there wasn't any churches like this that necessarily were reaching students either. There were very few church plants in Ipsy happening. So I was, you know, wondering why. Why aren't they going to Eastern? Why aren't they going to Ypsilanti? Was it lower economics? Was it racial diversity? What was keeping churches from happening there? And it kind of broke our heart. The more we thought about it, obviously my daughter going there, you know. And so, like Kyle said, about 4 years ago, these wonderful people, we got together. And I don't know if we knew what we were doing. We only had four loaves and no fish. And you know, we were like, God, here we are, take us. And in that first service, like 150 students showed up. And we were like, whoa, what do we do with this? You know, and we couldn't hold them. We were like a submarine with a screen door. I mean, people just leaked away. Because we just didn't have enough workers, you know, to
help. The water comes
them.
In the submarine, right?
I mean, yeah, that's true. I don't know how it works. Okay, right. Leaky bucket. I forgot the analogy. But the point is, we really needed more workers. But in spite of that, God has done a lot. In the last year and a half, about 28 students have been baptized. We've seen students baptizing students, which is our dream, right? As Kyle said, disciples making disciples. And, you know, it's pretty awesome. Hey, there's a picture. That was one of the baptisms. So for us, it's super powerful. And, you know, just to give you a picture, a few months ago, a young man came to our service, and we sort of have these dark corners in our service that some people go there if they don't necessarily want to be talked to. And so during our question time, like you guys have, my wife went into the dark corner and talked to this young man, and he was from Detroit, never lived with his father, and she was, you know, befriending him. And so she introduced him to me. I took him to lunch, and we shared the gospel with him. He came to small group that night. It was just really cool, but he's super, super shy. And so after small group, him and I were, you know, in a prayer team, and so he asked me a question, and he talked really slowly. And quietly, and he's like, is it wrong to hate? And I had no idea what he was talking about, because we had just talked about love and hate. And I said, I'm sorry, I didn't understand you. He goes, is it wrong to hate yourself? And I wasn't expecting that. And I said, why do you feel that way? And he said, I feel like I'm a nobody. I'm a waste of oxygen. And it was really hard to hear, you know, and I proceeded to tell him that he was somebody, that God thought he was somebody, and I thought he was somebody. And I just praise God that he had us there, you know. And last week, in fact, in the morning service, he got baptized right here on the stage, because God is good. But what breaks my heart is I know that there's hundreds of people like him on our campus that needs someone to reach out to them. You know, they're like sheep without a shepherd. I mean, every fall we have, like, you guys have Maze Craze, we have something like that. We have about 500 students fill out a survey saying, I would like a church, I would like a Bible study, I would like to hear the gospel, and we can't follow up even 10% of them. You know, we just don't have enough workers. So, but we're just thankful for what we can do.
Yeah, thanks, John. And I just, every time I hear that story, I just feel moved. I move to tears that God intervenes through broken people to love broken people, to bring people to himself. And so as we dream together with you guys about seeing EMU become an autonomous, established church plant for the years to come, we want to know, how can we serve you? So how can we concretely, as your church community, what needs can we pray about meeting?
Well, specifically, I was thinking that it would be great if you would pray about 5 hours in your hands, okay? We got 5 loaves, 2 fish. Could you give 5 hours a month in your 2 hands? And what does that mean practically? That would mean maybe helping with our service, helping to pull it off. We just don't have enough people to pull it off well. Helping in a band or something like that. Also, we serve a dinner after our service every week, which is a big draw for our campus. Helping to put that dinner on. Maybe a small group would come in and serve dinner on a Sunday night, you know, once a semester. That would be a huge help. The last thing is possibly being a mentor, you know, being a mentor to a student. We just don't have enough people to mentor people at our church. So those are just a couple ways that you could help.
Keep those things in mind. We're going to have a chance to respond a little bit later, and we'll have this group back up to pray for you. But for now, can we just celebrate with the work they're doing? Thank you, guys. Now, if you would, please join me in welcoming up Chris Gentz and Ben and Sarah Brand. Now, as your pastors, it is with both joy and sadness, but ultimately in obedience to what we believe the Lord is leading us to do as a church, that we've decided to build a church plant team around these faithful ones so that by fall of 2018, so not this fall, fall after that, we can send them out to plant a church on campus at Western Michigan University. You guys have a seat. Now, this is super exciting, and it's also a challenging thing, right? This requires surrender. And so I just think about you guys as a family, and you have enough excuses already, right, to not uproot and to move to a new place. And so I just feel particularly ministered to as a father with kids and being married and other people with families and really everyone in here. It's an example to us of what it could look like to be people who go. And so I'd love to hear from the two of you first. What was your process like as a couple just discerning this next step?
Yeah, I mean, we love New Life Church. God has used it tremendously in both of our lives. And so there is, yeah, there's sadness and pain. And I think it was just up to us, like, we would just stay. But at the same time, church planting is something that we've been praying about really our whole marriage. We had friends that went when we sent a team to Michigan State, even before the Ohio State team. We had friends on the Ohio State team. Our kids are really close with the Armstrong kids in Detroit. And so each time there's pain, and each time we wrestled with God, like, would you have us go? And each time it was a no. But this one was different. God was just kind of nagging at my heart about church planting, and really came into clarity when we as pastors were praying about what our 10-year vision would look like, what God had for us. And in that time, I really felt like the Lord was telling me that the way that I was going to lead New Life Church is by going, by being sent, by us getting sent.
And I was surprised by that because I had thought if we were going to go on a church plant, we would have already gone because of our relational ties. But for me, Kalamazoo kind of has a special place in my heart. I was born there, but placed for adoption and grew up nearby, so I feel like I've always been drawn there or thought I'd live there someday. But even so, when we were praying about it, I didn't really want to go. I was struggling with wanting to go. And the Lord just brought to mind this passage in Zechariah. It says, "Who dares despise this day of small beginnings or small things?" And I realized I was not wanting to give up being in a bigger church and with a great ministry program for my kids and stuff, and the Lord was just calling me to surrender those desires or let him take care of those things.
Yeah, and so we, earlier this year, we asked, we felt like God was saying, yeah, this is what I want you to do. We asked the pastors, would you send us? Would you pray about sending us? And they, without hesitation, said, yes, please go.
That's not what happened. It's a bunch
of malarkey. No, they wrestled with the Lord as well, they decided to send us.
No, I believe we said, will you please write us a book including all of the things that you currently are doing to serve New Life Church so that we can find a way how to survive?
It was a spreadsheet, but yeah.
All right, Gents, I want to hear from you now. I was like, wow, yeah, I like him. I mean, so when I was an RA in West Quad in 2006, you were on my hall, and I just want to say, since then, you have not changed a bit. Now, did you know when you moved into West Quad that you would one day be moving to West Earn?
It's a great question.
Yes, it's rhetorical. Okay. No, seriously though, for as long as I've known you, when you were on my hall, then you were passionate about reaching lost people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and doing that surrounded by people you love, being on mission. And so I would love to hear a little bit about your heartbeat for Western Michigan, why Western Michigan, maybe a story and some vision about what you see God doing there now and what you imagine he could do in the future.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you bring up West Quad because I remember we were really different then, me and you. Not just different between us, but we've grown a lot since then.
Yeah.
Trust me. And yeah. As I think about my sophomore year in West Quad, I would have never guessed that I'd be on staff here or wanting to plant a church and go to some other campus. That was never in my plans. And so as God's moved in my life, even over these past 2 years, I started thinking and praying about, okay, what does it look like to go? What does it look like to go and plant a church somewhere? And so I started visiting a bunch of different campuses. And I think I've got a picture right here. I went to a lot of different ones. I felt like a high school senior again as I just went on all these campus tours, and they were like, why is this bearded man here? And it was amazing to go to all these places, and my goal was to meet students, see what God is doing there, and see what the need was there. And every campus I went to, I saw a need. I saw a need for the gospel. I sat down with students and talked with them about their faith and got to share the gospel in a ton of different places. And when I went to Western, I think what drew me there was there's such a great need. There are over 24,000 students, and there are less than 300 involved in campus ministries. And there's not a thriving campus church focused just for students there. And so that really stood out to me. And then there were just personal stories of people I met. My first trip to Western, I went with a couple staff members, and we went, and as we were walking around the dorm, we met this one senior girl named Becky. And we started talking to Becky, and she shared her story with us about how she had recently lost her brother and that she had no one to really talk to about it. And then she shared about how she grew up in an alcoholic household, and she heard about God, but she didn't really know him. And I remember sitting there amazed because me and this other staff woman who was with me, I thought, these are our stories. The staff woman had recently lost her brother, and I grew up in an alcoholic household. And here we are talking to Becky, and our stories are coming together. And as we sat there and talked, we just asked her, hey, can we share with you about Jesus? And she sat there, and I saw she listened and heard the gospel. Her eyes lit up as she joyfully accepted Christ. And we got a new sister in Christ. Yeah. And I'll never forget what she said. She looked at me and she said, I think I was meant to talk to you tonight. And I was just thinking, yep. And right after that, she said, I never knew how important Jesus is. I never knew that. And I just think, how many students at Western Michigan graduate and never know how important Jesus is? And my hope is that as we go there, students, hundreds, thousands of students will leave and know how important Jesus is, and that they will say, I'm so thankful that this church is here to show me that. That they don't have to wait till senior year to hear about Jesus, but freshman year, day one, I'm knocking on the door. Some of you are knocking on the door, and they're getting to hear and meet someone from a church to tell them about Jesus.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love hearing that story. I love hearing your heart for Western. And I just want to know, as 2018 fall feels like a long way off, but it's going to come pretty fast. And so as you look forward to that time, what are some concrete, specific ways that we as a church community can come alongside you, needs that we can help meet?
Well, as a church plant, if you can think of a need, we probably have it. And Ben and I need a lot of help, I think. Mm-hmm. And so when I think about our church, too, as one thing we want to be focused on from day one is we want to be a church that plants more churches. We want to be a church that sends others out into the mission field and also that reaches the campus at Western. And so we need people who want to be invested on campus there. And so we would love to have more staff that join us on campus there. Maybe some of you are thinking about that. We would love for you to consider, is that a place I could go? I'd love to see students go there, and that could be for grad school. That could mean transferring there or spending a semester at Western. And that seems like a crazy thing, right? Like, man, could I transfer to Western from the University of Michigan? But maybe God might lead some of you there. And so I would love to see students there who are meeting other students in their classes and going with us. I'd also love to see city folk who come and they just add stability and are able to mentor students. And so we have needs. We need people who want to share the gospel on campus. We need small group leaders, worship leaders, people who will serve and volunteer. And we also just need a lot of prayer. We'd love to have you guys praying that God will move on that campus and do great things.
Love being teamed up with you guys. It's a joy to see your faith. Let's give them a hand. If you would, just please join us as we, as your pastor, just want to pray for these two teams.
Let's pray for the EMU team first. Lord, we just thank you so much for these faithful ones and all the ones that have labored on EMU's campus and in the city of Ypsilanti throughout the years, Lord. There's just so many needs there. There's a lot of lost ones and forgotten ones there. And the harvest is really plentiful, God. And so we ask you, as you called us to pray for in your word, to pray for more workers in the harvest field. Lord, will you please, please raise up more workers? We beg you, Jesus. In desperation, we long to not have anyone be forgotten or not be able to be pursued and shown the love of Jesus to. So will you please do that? Will you please continue to build this team? Will you raise up a autonomous church in the city of Ypsilanti on the campus of EMU, Lord? Will you do it? Will you raise up pastors? Will you raise up leading women? Will you raise up student leaders, God, and people who are passionate and devoted and sold out for that place, for that harvest field, God? We pray a prayer of blessing over them, and we pray, Lord, that you would move mountains to be able to establish this church, God. We ask you these things by the power of your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Lord, I thank you for Gents. We thank you for Ben and Sarah and their kids, God, and that you have given them clarity, God, that you have called them out to go and plant in a college community of Kalamazoo, Lord, to minister to those who call Western Michigan home and probably even impacting Kalamazoo College and KVCC over there, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would increase their faith, Lord, that you would embolden their resolve, Lord, that you would bless them richly in relationships with one another and the time they still have here, Lord, as they prepare to go. We also pray, Lord, that where they are headed to the Kalamazoo area, Lord, that there would be men and women, there would be students that are ready to join your movement, what you're doing, God. There are people who are already prepared that you have in place to be a part of this church plan. God, I pray that you would just supernaturally connect them through your church so that as they go, they are networked in, that there are people ready to receive them as we send them. God, I pray for this team that you would continue to enrich them in your love, in your grace, God, in your power as they prepare to go. Give them great unity. Give them great boldness. Lord, continue to refine and give clarity. And I pray that as we as a church come alongside, God, that there are men and women, even here today, that you are going to call to join this, Lord. I pray that we would hear your voice in our lives. Lord, that we would heed your call. God, that we would be willing to surrender our stories for your story. That this story of what you're doing at Western, God, that you would invite your people into it. God, that you would resource it for your kingdom advancement. God, and I pray that the result would be great fruit that we've already seen started there in this story, and that people, men and women, hundreds, thousands, God, would end up seeing the importance of you as their King and Lord and Savior in their lives. Lord, that they can point back and say, this church made a difference, Lord. That lives would be transformed, and that they would be sent out from Western Michigan as they continue to minister and reflect your glory to those around them. Lord, would you do this? Would you bless it? Would you just increase the fire around this plant and your desire to see men and women at Western Michigan come to know you and follow you? We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.